And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of Adventures into Sovereignty with your host Andrew Bartis and my co-host Rebecca Cope. Joining us today are Sasha Stone and Greg Paul of New Earth Nation. Welcome everyone to this incredible, incredible show.
Yes,
Thank you,
and
Andrew. Thank you, Rebecca. Happy to be with you guys.
yes, and we always look forward to it. You know, this is just one of those opportunities we love having Greg and Sasha be able to share, because, you know, they're our vision keepers for New Earth Nation, and that's something that we really honor them for. And so we're just so happy to have them here with us tonight as we're looking at this phenomenal growth that New Earth Nation is into and all of us being a part of it. So we're just going to look forward to a good conversation tonight.
And I want to welcome everyone on BBS, the mega station over there. We are simulcasting into Google Hangouts also. I want to welcome all those people that are logging in to find out this incredible layer of sovereign information. So I want to bring Greg and Sasha here, and I want to ask you guys a quick question. Let's talk about the Micronations Treaty. So many people on our shows have been hearing about the Micronations Treaty and signing up for them, and we're doing a drive to get 1 million signatures signed up.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, and this process constantly informs itself to us as we go, really. And as you know, we launched the treaty itself probably 2 months ago now. But what's happened since then is as it states in the treaty, there was always the intention that it's individual men and women ratifying that treaty as micronations. So it's the first opportunity for men and women to really participate in a real treaty event. But what's happened since that time is we've begun discussing and engaging with sovereign tribes, indigenous tribes and nations, to have them come on board as part of this covenant of fellowship. And what's become obvious to us is that we all, in the interest of transparency, as much as anything else, need to know who we're all dealing with. And that kind of thought form has led to us, there's a couple of other sides to this as well. As you know, there's the Earth Sanctuary Trust was a kind of vehicle conceived in order to dock lands, for people to dock their own lands into their own sovereign trusts, and to take those lands out of the jurisdiction of existing structures, if you like. But the process has been something that people were not, it was complicated. People couldn't get their heads around it. And so what's actually happened now is that we've landed at a process where essentially beginning very soon we're inviting everyone, whether that's individuals or families or community groups, to form their own micronation. They can be territorial or non-territorial. That means like either there's a landholding there or not. And so everyone gets to go through the process of really learning what self-governance is. Draft your own constitution. We'll provide some inspirational templates for how that may look. But engage in this process now. What self-governance really is? Well, what are you about? And what are your principles? How do you wish to govern thyself? And so, beginning very soon, we're planning to launch the micronation portal, where people will be able to create a virtual micronation, which can reflect their own real-world micronation, where they put a pin on the map with their coordinates, upload their constitution, their Declaration of Independence, and whatever other documents they feel the need to. There's a blog feature so everyone can be feeding in their experiences, what's going on in their area, their nation, what they're about, and a very interactive process so that people can really begin engaging from the ground up in what it means to express sovereign condition in the real world.
We're talking about fractality here being played out again, in as much as we invite people of the world, individuals or as Greg said, communities, to become these discrete entities which can self-reflect, define their own parameters, define their own threshold of dignity, whatever suits their resonance, and then to engage and dock that discrete set of values with the greater set of values, which is the New Earth nation, which is effectively becoming less of an identity than it is a unifying principle, which is ultimately what drew all of us together, Andrew and Rebecca. You know, all our brain trust is endeavoring to be just that, the unifying principle, more than another system or another structure or another multilateral organization. God forbid we continue playing the old draconian games, which are failing.
And this really fits more into our concept of natural justice. You know, that's such an exciting part of it. To me, we've got to be so careful as we're doing the first stages here to make sure that we stay as much within the precepts of natural law. And that's the simplicity of it. You know, we want to get back person to person on this so that we are responsible to each other. And I think this is much more a way to do that.
Yeah, that's the thing, Rebecca, is that already in this world there's a very good model for the operation of natural law, and that's international law. It is based on natural law. And under international law, those are nations treating with each other. And so that we roll that model out to individual communities and individual people and families and whoever wants to engage at that self-governing level, then we already have a framework for natural law on this planet, and it's beautiful, it's so simple, and so easy to engage with.
And one of the things that's been just absolutely riveting for our team as we've been working with this concept in the natural, in the Law Academy, you know, there's been so many macronations set up now that there is actually a Lonely Planet God, for Pete's sakes. I was not aware of that.
I'll wager there's more micronations than there are exit states.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. And so what's happening is it gives us the opportunity to be very, very creative with this. We can all get in there with our imagination and just absolutely ignite this movement across the planet. And so it gives us a lot more of that individuality that is so missing in our corporate structured government, you know, the conformity and the control over others that is the current model that's in operation. This gives us so much more imagination and creativity. I can just imagine everybody getting together with a big festival of micronations and each one of us wearing our own colors, so to speak, and having all of these fun festivals with it where we are speaking and really teaching each other what the sovereignty principles really mean as we put them into practice.
Well,
so
right,
I think it's a good way to...
Without the pink skull and crossbones on the flag for us, please.
Maybe we could do a Halloween micronations party. Costume
yes.
Webinar, first of its ever kind.
Leave it to Andrew to come up with the most creative ideas imaginable. Way to go, Andrew.
Thank you. This whole idea and this whole model actually informs and brings to life the other aspects of that New Earth Nation has been all about. So the New Earth Exchange, for example, as a pure open exchange for usury-free trade and exchange, now becomes simply that, exactly as the word describes, an exchange, where all these micronations having their own resource-backed sovereign currencies can exchange their currencies.
Through just to drill into that a little bit, and we're talking about, you know, really just holding to value whatever emerges from any given community. So in Ecuador, if it's coffee beans, in Mozambique, if it's goji berries, whatever it is that is relevant to that location and that maintains the ecological integrity of that micronation, that resource becomes the collateral to the issuing of their own currency, which they can plug and play into the exchange. I mean, that's a very exciting playing field to envision.
Yes,
it really.
Earlier today, I did an interview with Lawrence Brahm, and we were talking about how the different micronations and or African nations can use a cryptocurrency, where hundreds of individual micronations can create their own currencies and create a currency exchange that has an end to it.
Yes. Yeah. He's in London right now, I know, because one of our film crews were with him yesterday filming. I think he was chairing a conference in London. Is that where he's coming live from?
Yeah, the African Consensus. Yeah, we did a recording with him there today live. It was really fun. And we're going to do a series afterwards. We're going to bring him on and talk strictly about market and economy that's coming up, because it's so vital that the law and sovereignty side understands that there's a market side that's one step behind it. And it's going to require a tremendous amount of creative people who understand what the law is changing to a natural justice system. And in that natural justice system, our inherent rights are returned, our inherent values are in you and not taken by a false state.
Yes, good. Fiction, making the distinction between the fiction and the living principles of the living men and living women.
Yes, right. And the fact that the living people have been harvested for their energy. I mean, this is something, as more and more people really do begin to understand this concept, that they have been utilized by this very, very small group of people, this international banking cartel, to make their lives, you know, the wealthiest on the face of the earth while everybody else suffers. It's really going to be a time of massive transition as people begin to understand the concepts of what has been in place as our governance system. Once they really fully understand, then we're going to see massive change all over, because people are just no longer going to be willing to stand under a system like that. So it's very important that we have these models and that we're able to articulate them so that people can begin to say, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to set up my micronation. Tell me more about that. What do I need to do to engage? And it's going to start a dialogue across the planet that's just going to be so fun to participate in as we all begin to look at how do we self-govern. You know, it's not really that complicated. Let's get on with it. Why should we allow these self-chosen rulers who have been service to self above all else? It's our time now to really get in there and take responsibility into our own hands.
It's important that we elaborate the fact here that we're not seeking to replace old forms and structures and ideation with new forms and structures and ideation. We're not looking to create a new rigid framework within which those micronations have to conform. What we're suggesting is that this is a neutral space. There is no crime without a victim. So outside of that, all expression is valid. And we are looking forward to engaging with people with their idea of what a micronation constitutes. It's not as if we're even defining exactly what that is. You know, again, the new logic that emerges must be predicated on this quantum philosophy and the capacity to engage with the new without contaminating with the old forms from the past. This is paramount to any success that we may have.
And without being afraid of it.
Exactly. Yep. And without being labeled one of them sovereigns.
Or those anarchists.
Or the anarchists or paper terrorists or whatever other name that they try to push down our throats.
Oh, and be clear, Andrew, FBI, as we all know by now, designating sovereign citizens as being the number one domestic terrorist threat. Well, go figure. Government has formally declared war on the people. And government, of course, in this instance, being what it is, I think that Rebecca was being far too polite by even coining the word cartel. That almost sounds as though it's well-organized and acceptable. Actually, it's a cabal. It's an underground, sequestered, cloistered, and occultist enterprise. It's a lot less illustrious than cartel might suggest.
The really funny thing about this is that, I mean, you take the whole idea of sovereign citizen, and not only is it an oxymoron in itself, one that's no doubt created by that cabal in the first place as yet another entrapment, but it's just another label, and it's something else not to be feared. And if, for the example I gave to someone yesterday when I was talking about this is, if I decide, Andrew, I want to call you Lucy from now on. Unless you're going to agree to that, I'm going to have a great deal of difficulty.
I'll agree to it.
I'm going to have a great deal of difficulty getting other people to do that, unless it's for a bit of a laugh. And it's the same with this. The same with any label, any name that anyone wants to apply to you. Do you want to agree to it?
Oh. And I think that's why, I think that's why we coined the phrase Operation Spitwad, because the more people call us paper terrorists, and what they mean by this is people like Rod Class, who filed this beautiful paperwork into court that gets absolutely not recognized. He wasn't even able to get his paperwork. It was so oppressed. I mean, this is going to be the story of the decade when we get this on our website, because we've got the proof in living color of just exactly how much they push this idea of the paper terrorist and what it really means as you read the paperwork. But we wanted to find a very lighthearted way to send the message to everybody that these judges are not doing they're not following the rule of law. And the best way we could think of to start getting that lighthearted feeling in there that lets people really get away from the fear is to think about sending a spitball that goes toward the judge every time you hear that term, paper terrorist. So we're working on that one quite a bit.
And with Operation Spitwad, that is to serve 3,084 judges in the United States simultaneously with three felony notices, and then simultaneously notify all the insurance carriers that there are three felonies that have not been dealt with, and those judges will be removed from office at the insurance carrier level. And that is an example of using their rules against them and asking them to stand by their own rules.
And this is something that we really, you know, everybody looks at it. And once you get through going through this last case that Rod will be able to document for us so completely, then there will not be any question what goes on in the courtrooms in America. You know, it's kind of like we've been going through 9/11 again, you know, 13 years later. We're going through this whole thing. And it's like people who don't question what went on that day in 2001, you know, something's the matter if you aren't able to question. Well, it's the same thing with what we're finding with our court system, our law system, our whole governance structure is, you know, the fact we can't continue trusting our government because that's gotten us in trouble. We've got to be able to look at this with clear-eyed reality and not be in denial so that we can move forward. We can understand why we want to take this step to become our own micronation. It's really about becoming self-responsible in all aspects of our life, and that's just an exciting concept to me as we really get started with a lot of the projects and the things that we're doing. It calls forth the best in all of us.
I don't think it's just about unearthing the diabolical nature of our government, as you put it, for American folks listening in. But it's actually the business of disengaging initially and then reverse engineering any notions or psychological addictions that we have to the idea of government altogether, because that is ultimately government. Of course, the etymology indicating that it means mind control almost exactly, is the accreted sum total value of our fear of addressing our own majesty over millennia. So we've got to a point now where that badly projected dream, albeit sleeping dream, has eventuated into a scenario where we have 250-odd corporate fictions, as we know that they are corporations posing as governments, and they're the accreted value of everything that is the most diabolical in human nature. I mean, isn't that the paradox? That the creature that we have collectively dreamt into being is antithetical to human nature and antithetical to human survival in 2014. Whereupon those governments, those accreted false value Luciferian entities or constructs are waging diabolical war against the living people with genocidal agendas and microchip programs and vaccination programs and chemical trails and pollutions that are killing us and mutating our genome. It goes on and on and on. So I suggest that we need to apprehend the word government, the notion government, the actual idea of government altogether. We certainly do not want to replace a government with another government.
Isn't that the truth? That, you know, yeah.
And we live in a world where everything is our nemesis. Our own creation is our nemesis. Our perfect creation that we have to perfectly uncreate piece by piece by piece. Will there be pieces that are used? Maybe. Right now, to go through this sovereignty concept, you have to get into the seat of your heart and see the world through your heart, disconnected from materialism and consumerism, into a world that doesn't use interest and usury. Into a world that doesn't force you to be vaccinated, or a world that doesn't suppress medical technologies. All of those things are inherent to your rights as a person living on this world that doesn't have to pay to live here.
That's beautiful, Andrew. I mean, the idea of the sovereign citizen in the 21st century being this redneck who kind of loads a shotgun and stands at the threshold of his farm or his dwelling is all in good. But, you know, suggest load the shotgun, absolutely. Suggest lean it up against the door so that it's ready and at hand. But, you know, revert to the good book. Revert to the philosophical, intellectual, and spiritual dimension that we're born with to engage with the real meaning of sovereignty. It's not about aiming a shotgun at the other.
Right.
It's about absolutely having a shotgun if that's what makes you feel safe and keeping it loaded, but it's not about wielding that to enforce sovereignty. Sovereignty will emerge off the back of the intellectual, the philosophical, and the spiritual pitched battle, not guns and tanks.
Yeah, it'll be with digital documents in written word, in words by song and drum. It'll be by ceremonies of all different interfaiths. It'll be those people that come together in peace, in unity, to break bread so that inherent laws, inherent rules, inherent justice, natural justice can be given a common modern language.
For sure, but this isn't something we have to wait for. There's no, there's nothing preventing each and every individual alive right now from embracing this in its fullest colors. It's already there. We're already it. And in just engaging with that living principle, realizing it in every single moment, treading perhaps initially where you may previously have feared to tread, because your conscience compels you, is the only path to get there. Putting stuff on paper is one thing, but the paper reflects and memorializes the intent and the truth of our hearts. So it's about us first stepping in and just taking some concerted effort. It's starting to listen to that inner voice that calls to us.
Yeah.
The rest is unveil.
That signature frequency that defines sovereignty.
As soon as you take that choice, life supports you in it. You know, you step out and you
your circumstance, put yourself on the circumstance line. Conspires at that point.
Yeah, you put yourself in a situation where you would previously have thought, you know, this is a bit hairy. You throw yourself out there because your conscience compels you, and life will protect you. And that's really it. Find some courage and get started.
We had this beautiful conversation yesterday, Rebecca and Greg and myself, with Heather Tucci Giraffe and Caleb from the erstwhile OPPT, now the One Movement, and it was a very meaningful conversation. But we were ostensibly discussing matters of hard, fast law and engagement with the status quo. But in point of fact, the conversation was really discussing the metaphysical threshold, which we can't ignore. I mean, that is where everything that manifests issues from that metaphysical or subdimensional threshold. So it's important that we engage with the real subtleties here of sovereignty and consciousness if we are true about, if we are serious about manifesting that in the real world, in the temporal world.
And that's when it really gets fun, because when you allow those synchronicities to start happening and you start working with the most incredible people who are drawn to it because of that heart space and because they understand this larger picture, then you can work in a whole different level of engagement. And you can deal with very diverse people and still make common cause with them because you're willing to look at it from that heart space and really like the people that you're working with. It gets to be quite interesting sometimes, the different discussions and things that we engage in within my team. Goodness, I'm getting a team of almost like 100 that we're working with now. And it really gets to be interesting as we bring in so many diverse personalities. And we all learn to work together. I mean, we could break into all kind of arguments. We could get into common law versus natural law. And I was on one of the talk shows with some people who were into a lot of the citizens jury type things. And I have to be careful because a lot of them are really into common law. And I happen to really have pretty strong feelings about the differences between common law and natural law. And so we learn to work with each other within all of those things because we can allow a certain amount of diversion and discussion without getting into the things that would just keep us from working together. And that's part of what my team is learning as we go through this process, as we're engaging with the Law Academy with New Earth Nation. So it gets to be quite interesting sometimes as we bring so many people in.
Yeah, we don't have to agree on everything, Rebecca. This is the whole point. We're not trying to homogenize ourselves and humanity here. If there's a group of people that want to govern themselves according to the principles of common law, great. Within their micronation, that's precisely what they should do. It's about diversity and celebrating that diversity and exploring all the possibilities for creative self-expression.
Well, but we have been so, I want to call it dumbed down. You know, they've tried to force us through our schools and through our churches and everything else to fit within that mold. And so everybody who comes together, it takes a while for people from so many diverse cultures to, you know, not point fingers and look at it in different ways. And I think my team is just a really good example of how everybody's been able to do that and just learn to appreciate the very fact that people can come back and have very strong opinions. Sometimes that really gets into some of the most fun of all, as people are allowed to express that and bring forward a lot of it. And we really want to get into some of those discussions as we get the Law Academy up and going, so that we'll invite people to get into those discussions so that they can sharpen their ideas of what sovereignty means. It's going to be just a real exciting time as people do engage at that level.
Undoubtedly.
Engagement is the key. Once we start engaging the audience, we want the audience to begin to study. And so much of natural justice, common law, and any of the other forms requires you to begin the process of studying. And without that, you're just philosophizing. You have to be able to understand what some of these terms are going to be when it comes to deal with the rotten class information, or even in the micronations, even though it's broken down to a really basic understanding. We live in a world that's constantly trying to contract you, and we are trying to create an international court of natural justice that's a no-bond court, that's funded by the people, that doesn't use your signatures to securitize or monetize, as well as to bring in the Micronations Treaty that's not costing you money to be a part of it, that has all the documents for free so that you can declare your own micronation, as well as sign a treaty that the whole world can sign at the same time.
You know, that in itself is just one of the most exciting concepts to me, that for the first time in recorded history, we the people get to sign this peace treaty. We get to have the full opportunity to say, I am a part of this peace treaty. I just absolutely declare peace. It doesn't matter if everybody else from the governing structures has continued to try to say war. If enough people really get into this and understand that they're being invited to be a part of this peace treaty. You know, we're not even a part of the Constitution, truthfully. We, the people, no matter what it says, we aren't really a party to that Constitution. And when people really get down in there and understand that, and understand what a remarkable time that we're living through, and the opportunities that we have to engage at this level, then it becomes just, you want to study, you want to learn more about it, you want to do your civic responsibility so that you can become the best citizen. And that's something that we haven't really had in this country for a long time. So it's a good opportunity for us to engage at that level too.
Okay, just that word citizen always makes me nervous, but I think you probably mean a good living man or living woman.
Oh, yes. You know, in person and all of the words that we so have to watch out and be careful for, you know, when will we ever get to this where we can begin to trust again? Because everything has been turned upside down on us. I know. I'm very careful when I use those words because they have been used against us. So you brought a really good point up. But it's, you know, as we get back into our own skin, so to speak, then we're going to have to be able to be willing to get rid of the connotations. I mean, sovereign citizen is, you know, all of the things. One of the things we're going to be putting on the website that's going to be a real eye-opener for people is the transcript from 1996. It goes back that far, with a group of judges absolutely showing how the judges got together to make sure that the pro se people would not be allowed to deposit their papers. They would be branded as sovereign citizens. They would be laughed out of court and not given the opportunity to have a fair hearing because, number one, they were supposed to hire lawyers. They didn't want to have it so that they weren't hiring lawyers so that their closed union shop could be protected. And second of all, so that they would not win on appeal. A pro se, the judges were going to gang up on the pro ses. We have this evidence that will be posted on the website so that people can look at this and say, you know, we've been hearing this. Now we can see the proof, and we'll be able to see that. We have one of the judges talking about the birth certificate trust. Don't think they don't know these things. We're going to be able to put it right on the website so that people can go in there and understand what's been going on behind the scenes. This is what we're working on with my team now. And it's really quite a voluminous process that we're into. But part of the reason is so that we can make it real clear what the current system of law really looks like, so that we can begin to make other choices.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And, you know, just describing there the institutional and endemic treason by the judiciaries. And, of course, you know, you speak about the United States, which is our primary focus right now, because the United States is the litmus ground. It's the battleground now, ground zero, of what will fractalize and franchise to the rest of the world, almost certainly. So it's desperately important that we do give most of our focus there. But bearing in mind that this is something which is happening in hundreds of countries around the world, you know, we really ought to think, Andrew and Rebecca, we should consider also setting up, you know, a whistleblower's cafe, you know, maybe in the streets of capital cities around the world, because one of the great things that's happening increasingly at an exponential rate is whistleblowers. I mean, good men, good women from inside these institutions and these systems stepping forward, huge degrees of conviction and
risk,
confidence coming forward. And they invariably are the ones who are bringing all the gifts to the table that we're able to work with. So it's just important that we consistently acknowledge them.
And they're coming out in sufficient numbers now that they needn't be quite so afraid as they were before. They can't all be silenced anymore.
That's a fact. Yeah. John Perkins is still alive and well.
As well as many others. And there's a lot more that I know are one step away from making a choice. And for those that are listening and those that will be listening in the archives, you know who you are. You've got all the goods on them. We have other people here that have the goods too. It's time to start sharing the stories to show how far the fraud goes, so that the most dense person, the most ignorant person, the most asleep person can see it in plain words how far the fraud goes.
We are having this in our team just as we're working. You know, it's just so interesting because we're getting contacts from all across the world, and how they're getting all of this information. You know, we thank everybody out there listening who helps spread this message far and wide. And I also want to say that we're so ready to have more volunteers come in and work with us. And we always say, you know, you can just get in touch with us, Rebecca@humanitad.org. If you have information or if you want to volunteer, we encourage that. And just share your stories, whatever.
I mean, from where I stand now, we've already crossed that point where this is a done deal. You know, there's no question as to how the world will look in 20 years' time from where I sit. It's a beautiful unfolding that's arising right in front of us. And it may not look like that for a lot of people who are still relatively trapped in that legacy system, but all the signs are that it's now a done deal. So just come and join us, guys.
Exactly. I mean, you can stay in the arms of domination and control, or you can come to the open arms of micronations that are saying, shed off the system.
There's a lot of rooted evil that needs to be addressed. I have a lot of experience in this area over the last decade and a half, not only in research but also in direct engagement on a number of occasions. And I can tell you that senior military figures, senior corporate figures as well in some instances, tied into these secret societies. And I'm not just talking about the ones that are known, like the Skull and Bones and the Leopard Cults and all the rest of them, but there are, you know, a lot of these figures who are maintaining the draconian protocols are doing so because they have blackmail levied against them, institutional blackmail. There are sex tapes of them sodomizing young boys at fraternity gigs that they were drugged and induced to engage in all sorts of diabolical antics. Sounds like rogue conspiracy theoretics here, but alas, it's all too true. Thousands of senior figures who are the guys with their hands on the rudder, their hands and their fingers on the trigger, are people who are incredibly deeply embedded and implicated into this kind of stuff. So it's not just a question of, you know, coming out of the woodwork and being a whistleblower. In many cases, these guys know that if the proverbial shit hits the fan, their lives, their careers are in absolute tatters. Even their own wives and children will not look them in the eye. So it's serious stuff. It's deeply embedded. It's not as simple as we might imagine in many cases. And my heart goes out to many of those folks. You talk about in the United States, the Marine Corps and so on. There's a lot of stuff going on to this day, and again, it's institutional blackmail. It's gone on for decades.
This could say it's gone on for centuries. That's how they keep the military in check, as well as the government in check. And to overcome this, you know, it's beyond just the people's viva revolution. It's beyond slogans. It's a whole new way of looking at it. Compassion and forgiveness is going to be needed so truth and reconciliation can be truly understood. The fraud was perpetrated and upheld for 100-plus years. Are you going to put your ancestors in jail? No. We want to know the truth. And for those people out there that are ready to tell the truth, there's an International Court of Natural Justice about to be seated, and we're going to have a constitutional bounty hunter with 8 letters of marquee signed by the Congress. So we will be able to go after those that think they are unable to be gone after.
That sounds so good when you say it like that, Andrew. And I hope that our bounty hunter has got a GoPro camera on his cap.
Well, let me tell you something. The number of people who have already signed up for the PAG training, we just keep getting them in. We had such an excellent webinar on the 31st of August. And so that's in the archives. If you're really interested in getting engaged, you know, this is going to be some real serious study. But we do have just such an active group who is willing to do this. They're willing to step forward so that they'll be able to help not just their families, but other families across who have been just absolutely, you know, just under so much stress from this system. And let me tell you something.
What is a PAG for the layman? Can you just describe what you're referring to? But I think we need to also educate the layman into this. A PAG is a private attorney general. What we're setting up the workshops duly to be able to train them up and give them the accreditations. What is a PAG and what does this mean?
Yes, a private attorney general is one of the constitutional officers that we have here in the United States. And the bounty hunter provision is not like a bounty hunter who just goes after somebody who's broken bond. A bounty hunter has a constitutional mandate to go after the public servants who have broken their oath and bond. So it is a very serious constitutional duty. And as we're teaching this class, and we will be teaching people what this really means, and we'll have a lot of the notary information. There's going to be just a whole lot of real solid information that people will be able to get, because there are certain things that can be utilized outside of the corporate courts that will hold them accountable to the rule of law. So Rod and his team will be putting so much of this information together so that we can have people who have a level of competence that is so missing in our society today, that it will give us the opportunity to start getting out there and knowing enough about their own rules and regulations so that we can hold them accountable when they break their oath and bonds, when they just absolutely walk all over people in court. And as Rod himself, he is the most knowledgeable person that I have ever known when it comes to being able to understand the rules of the court and the rules of the Constitution and all of the things that we're supposed to have as our rule of law. And to be able to explain this and to walk through this case with him through D.C. and see just exactly how many laws and how many rules and how aggressive these people were going after him is going to be an education in itself. The PhD training.
Let's just narrow this down ever so slightly as well. Okay. Again, for the layman, jurisprudence, justice, the business of justice being meted out in thousands of courtrooms around the world. The foundational premise of jurisprudence is that there is a judge or a magistrate who is not favored one side or the other, who can make an informed judgment on a situation. What we've got today is every single judge and magistrate that I'm aware of, and correct me if I'm wrong, is paid by the state or the crown. So their salary by the state or the crown, and they are prosecuting men and women on behalf of the state and the crown. That is commerce, pure business. That's all it is. There is no jurisprudence. There is no Solomon's judgment protocol here whatsoever. So even the idea of justice and jurisprudence and a judiciary is nonsense wording. That's all it is.
Yes, and when you see what lengths they will go to put somebody in jail on a technicality that does not exist in their own rules, and see how far they have gone in this particular case, then you begin to realize that any concept of justice has been out the window in the court systems. And of course, it's not just here in the United States. It's all over. And we have a lot of people engaging with us from international courts. We have judges that are coming on board who understand the system and who want to get out from under it. We have a lot of people who are willing to work to bring integrity back to the system. So, you know, there's hope for everybody as we're working on this. And certainly Sir John Walsh, who is working with us to seat the tribunal, is one of the foremost constitutional scholars in the world. And he's the one who is just, his whole team is just so engaged in working with us on this project. So there are judges who are coming forward. There are attorneys who are working with our team now, ex-attorneys, and it's just real interesting to see how the full information of what has been going down in our justice system is coming out all over the place. I mean, we always say 2014 is the year of disclosure in ways that we didn't even imagine as we've been going into this project over the last year.
For sure. I mean, I also see 2014 as the year of forgiveness. We bring these truths to light, and then we have to kind of go through this internal process so we can actually forgive ourselves for having allowed this to happen. And when we arrive at that point, we actually now have the power again to do something about it, something positive and proactive, like establishing one's micronation.
Establishing one's micronation and then living with it. In a system, the rest of the world, not having to pay taxes, having food in your local neighborhood, or being able to create jobs in your own micronation.
You know, just envisioning the possibilities is one of the most fun things that we all can do at this point in time, because we're so used to the limits that have been put on us by the monetary system, by the laws and the rules that we live under. You know, just to imagine yourself free of all of those constraints, to live in peace and prosperity, you know, it's really a dream that we can step into. And that's one of the most important things, you know, because we define it, we define peace, and we define prosperity by our own terms as we're beginning to look at this. And as we're dealing with time, I mean, Sasha always does such a good job of talking about, you know, the time and the money and the fear that we've lived under as the things that have been used by the controllers to limit everything, to limit our thinking, the possibilities, to limit our ability to travel. You know, all of these things, as we begin to just think outside the box, then it gives us the opportunity to imagine what life is supposed to be like. And that's
Rebecca,
partly what we're pulling together.
Yes. You're putting Hollywood out of business, Rebecca, for God's sake. I mean, they're the ones who engineer our fantasies for us. You know, they're putting it on the big screen, and we can go that far, for heaven's sake. God forbid we all start fantasizing for ourselves and using our imaginations.
Don't you watch those
Tom Cruise movies about what the future is going to look like? For heaven's sake, it's all scripted for us.
That's right, it's all a script.
Even the script.
Even the script's a script. At all levels, it's a script, a hierarchical script that's trying to do what? Keep us in the prison cell, whether it's a really big prison cell or a little prison cell.
Yep. And like Dee and Heather and some of them talk about the templates, you know, the Phoenix Rising template and all of the templates that have been going on for so long. And it's really interesting as you really study the cycles and the end of the cycles that we're in at this particular time. You know, 10 years from now, it's going to be the most interesting thing to still be here on the earth and see the strides that we as humanity have made within that one small decade. Because I think it's going to be the most exciting time to be alive on planet Earth that it's possible to be.
Hear, hear. I tell you, that's not going to be dying of cancer in 10 years' time, that's for sure. And that's culling one-third of the world's population as we speak. So, absolutely correct. I mean, when we're no longer being hindered in our majesty and we're able to express ourselves fully, and all of those sequestered technologies, medical and energy and other technologies, come out of the woodwork and are allowed to flourish in broad daylight, we will see quantum leaps forward without any question of doubt.
And you know, I'm one of those early, you know, I've always been ahead of the curve on everything, because I was working with, they call them psychic surgeons, and Henry Belk was the first one who brought some in into the United States, and this was way back in the 80s. And the first experience that I had just completely changed my orientation to how health should be from that time on. And so, you know, it's been there for a long time, but it has been in the closet. And there's just so many technologies and things that are just waiting to come out. So more and more of that as we have the cancer cures, and we're putting it out there, you know, we're no longer willing to allow the energy to be suppressed, the medical technologies to be suppressed, the energy healings, the various things like that. You know, I made those decisions back in the 80s. That I wasn't going to allow my body to be at the mercy of the doctors when there was a better way. So there have been those of us who have been willing to do that for a long, long time. And now as more and more join in, then the changes that can happen so quickly will be quite interesting to see.
And it's part of Greg's absolution process, and there's a truth and reconciliation. I suggest that we round up the cabal, probably won't number more than a couple of 10, 20, 30,000 possibly, and jump gate them all to Mars. What do you folks say?
Oh, I think we come up with a little bit more creative. I think we can come up with something more creative, and we might even take an audience survey on that one.
Oh, yes.
I think we force them to watch Disney movies the rest of their lives.
That's a good one. That's great.
That's a good one, Andrew. I was waiting on you to come up with something real creative there.
We got to remain neutral here and forgiveness, but still, you can watch those Disney movies.
And come up with our Operation Spit Wads and all the other creative
That's
things
right.
that we come together. When we have our retreats and get all these people together, the creative energy that can come up with these ideas gets to be...
Oh, I think we lost Rebecca there for a second. Rebecca,
yes,
are you
there? Yes, you did. Yes, I'm muted. Just as I was talking about Operation Spitwad.
The system sent us an energy spitwad at you.
Oh, yes. And, you know, sometimes we do have to keep it light. We're dealing with such serious things sometimes. And you just have to realize that, hey, you know, part of it is to lighten up and have fun with it, because then that absolutely changes the energy of fear. When you're dealing with it from that standpoint, you aren't dealing in fear. Now, let me tell you something. Going through all of this trauma with Rod Class over the last 2 weeks, you know, it's been just pure stress for us. And as he's been able to come out of this and go on, then we've all found ways just to be able to lighten up and laugh about it. That's the only way you get through some of it sometimes. So we always look at that and just find ways to find the humor in it, or to find the ways to change the energy so that we can get on with the creative projects, just like with the micronation concept. You know, that just absolutely energized my whole team as we started looking about what that could mean to the average person and really getting into that concept and just thinking about it very, very deeply and how each person could engage from that standpoint. So it leads to that creative imagination when you can just be able to engage at the lighter levels too. So, you know, it takes all of it.
Well, the natural condition is a joyous one. It doesn't take much effort, really. We just get out of our own way. We find
yes.
You know, life is an awful lot of fun, every part of it. It's only the script, as you were saying, Andrew, it's only the scripts that write it otherwise. On my computer, I actually have a program called No Script. And they just pops all these scripts. And, you know, we are the computer here. Just write your own program.
And the path of least resistance is the highest form of bliss, invariably.
Absolutely. And that means you got to learn to find out what you love to do.
Yep.
Because the system we live in is designed to make you not find something you love to do, because there's always some new shiny thing going to be advertised to you.
Like that mirror on the wall behind you, Andrew.
That's correct.
I want to discuss the Vatican with you, because that is something that sits behind the Pope on the papal throne. Very, very
a friend bought it for me, because the other piece of thing that I had there was too sacred geometry for them. So I'm going to keep altering the stuff in my background. It was a butterfly before that.
Yes, I like the butterfly better, Andrew.
I've got lost advertising space here, you know? What about I put New Earth Nation up there? Banner space?
And, you know, while we're talking about fun things to do, you know, right now we're in the middle of putting all these documents together and doing a lot of work with the Law Academy. So if you want to have some fun, I just really invite you to come and become a part of this team, because we really are developing such relationships all across the world with all of these people. It is just so fun to work in a supportive environment like this. So if you have volunteer time and you really want to get engaged in something that can be, you know, life-changing in many different ways, then I just remind you again, get in touch with us, Rebecca@humanitad.org. Go to adventuresintosovereignty.org. There's a contact there. You can go info@adventuresintosovereignty. Or go sign the Declaration of Individual Sovereignty on the NewEarthNation.org portal. And that will get you into the newsletters in this beautiful, beautiful magazine that's coming out about once a month now. You do not want to miss that. So there are quite a few ways that you can get involved. And if you really just don't like law or anything to do with that, there are other possibilities within New Earth Nation that you can become a volunteer. So just don't forget, that's a very important part of what we can do. And if you want to be a part of Operation Spitwad, just put Operation Spitwad in your subject line. You know, there's lots of ways to get engaged in this project. And as we roll out the peace treaty and we roll out the micronation concept, you know, there's going to be lots and lots and lots of ways for everybody to engage with us. So we really just invite that participation. And I just don't want to miss that opportunity to remind you about it.
Thank you, Rebecca. Andrew and Rebecca, those folks who are familiar with Humanitad and the work that we've been doing over the last few years, some will know about the case of Anand Krishna, the spiritual master in Indonesia, who we were involved in his fight for justice, and we still are in point of fact. Actually, he's been released from prison, and he's on the island, and we actually have to go and see him now, I'm afraid. He's on parole. So it's been an hour at this end, but Greg and I are going to have to bid you adieu, send you all our love and blessings, but we've got a hightail on a motorcycle into town in a few minutes' time. I hope that's okay. If there's any questions for us, we'd happily field them right now.
Well, I just have to share that the rest of the weekend, I'm going to be out on a motorcycle doing Ride the Dragon Tail. So I'll think about y'all as you're in Bali. There is this wonderful stretch of road called the Dragon Tail in North Carolina. So I'll think about you while you're in Indonesia this weekend then.
Great. Andrew, Rebecca, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sasha and Greg. And you guys have an absolute good time. Safe driving those motorcycles out there. You never know in Indonesian Bali traffic there.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Much love.
Yes, thank you so much. We really look forward to sharing this with everybody. Thank you very much.
So we want to remind everyone, if you would like to donate to the New Earth Nation, the ITNJ fund, you can go to galactichistorian.com/ITNJ-donate. And there'll be a donate button there that will go strictly to the ITNJ fund that we started with the Rod Class webinar. And that's to assemble the PAG to seat the tribunal.
Now, that's going to be a real important thing that we've got to do, because as we start talking about creating the opportunity that we have an international tribunal so that we can begin to hold some of these public officials accountable, we've got quite a budget that we've got to come up with. So we do just absolutely invite your participation, not only as volunteers, but as a donation. You know, consider giving a donation, a monthly donation. because as we begin this really important work, we do need that in order to be able to carry on. We have our judge team that's working with us on a regular basis now. We're really making lots and lots of progress with many, many things behind the scenes as we get ready to roll out this whole project so that it can be of much benefit to all who need to engage. Don't forget, if you're having, you know, issues and you foreclosure, anything like that, and you want to get in touch with the team, these are the times that you can just put whatever the issue is at the top of the line, and my wonderful assistant Nadine will be able to get back to you. Somebody will get back to you and help you get that information. So we thank everybody for being a part of the show tonight. We just really appreciate your participation and your involvement and your engagement with New Earth Nation. We really do appreciate that.
We really do appreciate that. So we would like to remind people about Operation Paper Tiger Roar. And that's for those people that want to be able to send energy to a court. So we're asking you to write one letter on a piece of paper, the word ROAR, and send it to any court. Or you can send Rebecca an email also with ROAR in the title. ROAR, you're ready to do something. ROAR, you're ready to act. ROAR, you're tired of not being heard.
And just, ROAR, you're not in fear any longer. You look at these people as the costumed agents that they are. And that's a very important part of it. You know, it's beginning to let go of the mind programming that says these are the authority figures who have absolute control over our lives. We don't have to allow that anymore. So that's an important part of the concept.
Exactly. So I want to thank everyone at BBS Radio, the mega station over there, for listening in. Everyone at the Google Hangouts, you guys have been absolutely stupendous, fantabulous, and then another word that I'll make up in a little bit. I want to remind people that every Friday you can get Adventures into Sovereignty. This archive will be up shortly on YouTube as well as the Adventures into Sovereignty on bbsradio.com. So we are going to end the show for tonight. So Don, if you're there, why don't you take us to some music and we'll have a good old time.
Good night, all. This was a fun show tonight. Thank you, Andrew.